Well, I can't sing like the young people, but I can testify to the song. The longer we serve Him, the better we know the Lord, and the more precious He is, and the greater the love that we have for Him. It's deeper, it's stronger than it ever has been because of the love He's had to us. And I feel like that He helps us to understand it a little better. And to know His love, to know Him is to love Him. I'm totally satisfied with the Lord. I can't say I've always been totally satisfied with myself, but I'm totally satisfied with God and His ways. And I'm endeavoring to draw close to Him and live better for Him. We readily acknowledge the need of the Lord to bless us together this morning. I'd like to begin reading in the 46th Psalm to start with. The psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. First three verses. I thought of what the psalmist was endeavoring to impress on our minds and our hearts. First of all, that God is our refuge. He's our strength and a very present help in trouble. Then he emphasized it by saying that we would not have to fear, even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Can you imagine something that great taking place? Might just generally consider earthquakes today, or great natural disasters. Says we'll not fear, for God is our refuge, He's our strength, and a very present help in time of trouble. Then we went on to say in the 10th verse, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, I will be exalted in the earth. And the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still and know that I am God. I feel that's what the Lord has put on my heart this morning. Be still, be calm, be assured, and know that I am God. The Scripture says He's a very present help in time of trouble. And I was reminded of what Job said. The man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And this morning, any of us that's lived any length of time could certainly witness to that, that the world is full of trouble. There are a lot of troubles in the world this morning. Some of our troubles, perhaps we contributed to, helped bring about. But there are other troubles that we have that maybe we didn't have anything to do with. But it seems like it's a way of life. Troubles. I don't know how each one feels this morning. You may feel pretty good. Don't have anything you're really overly concerned about. Then again, you might have some real concerns. But I know it is a way of life. I know that if you live very long, you're going to have some troubles. There are several kinds of troubles. First of all, there's spiritual trouble. A person that's separated from God is in trouble. Whether they recognize it or not, they're in real trouble. Sometimes people, in their spiritual life, they may come to knowledge of recognizing they have a need. And we might not consider that so much trouble, just the fact that I was endeavoring to live for the Lord and I come to a place in life that I realized that there was something I needed to seek the Lord about and let Him fill in my life. We call that growing in the Lord. But when a person becomes discouraged in their spiritual life, they're in trouble. So there's spiritual trouble. Also, there's physical trouble. Sometimes people might have a cold or don't feel so well. Well, we don't really consider that real trouble. That's kind of a natural thing and something that most everyone experiences. Then there's other afflictions that come upon the body that are life-threatening. We say, well, they're really in trouble. They're in real need. So there's physical troubles. There are economic troubles. Now, all of us probably have some time in our life that we maybe wanted something, didn't really have to have it. We said, well, we just couldn't afford certain things. Well, we didn't consider ourselves in trouble. But there are people down on the streets today that have no job and no health and no finances at all. Now we consider them in trouble, real trouble. So to the degree of trouble, there are a lot of troubles in the world. There are people that are troubled spiritually. There are people that are troubled emotionally. There are people that are troubled in their physical health in a number of ways, but I'm glad to tell you this morning that God is still our refuge and that He has promised to be a present help in every trouble, in every need that we have in our life. And I want us to to know this morning that the Lord is certainly interested in each one of us. And He knows us all together. He knows what's on our minds, what's on our hearts this morning. And He really wants to be God to us. He wants to be the help. He wants to be the source of strength that we need, regardless of the trouble that we're facing. And that ought to encourage our hearts. That ought to lift our spirits this morning, regardless of how severe our trial might be, or how dark the picture may appear, or how troubled we might become, to know that God is our refuge, He is our strength, and He's a present help in every time of trouble. God wants us to count it that way. He doesn't want us this morning, He does not want us this morning to try to bear all our own troubles, nor does He want us to try to figure out all of our problems. He wants to be that refuge, and He wants to be the helper, and He wants to be the strength in our heart and our life. And if we will let Him be God as He desires to be in each one of our lives, He'll help us in all of our troubles, in all the problems that we have in life. In the 62nd Psalm, I'd like to read a few verses here. Psalmist says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Fifth verse, my soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Or I'm looking to God and expecting God to help me out. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. The 11th says, God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto Thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for Thou hast rendered to every man according to his work. What a beautiful psalm. What a beautiful truth it is. That our God this morning certainly is a God of power. He has all strength. He has all ability. What He's saying to us today is that He wants to be our God. He wants to be your refuge. He wants your confidence. He wants us to look to Him this morning in all of our trials and all of our troubles. I sometimes think that perhaps we bear too much in our own selves. And the enemy imposes to take away our peace, our joy, and our happiness that are rightfully ours because God is our refuge. And God is our strength, and He has all power. I don't believe this morning that God wants us to be plagued with fear, with anxiety, with worry, with hopelessness, despondency. All of those things, I believe that God, as our refuge, is our strength. If we will let Him be God to us, He'll certainly bear, and He'll certainly be our defense. Isn't that something to know? To think this morning that God has offered to be our defense, to be the one that would fight our battles, to be the one that would answer for us, to be the one to see us through, well, that's what the Lord wants to be in each one of our lives. I don't feel like this morning that He'll impose Himself upon us in any way. He'll not make us serve Him, nor will He make us let Him be God in our lives, and be our Heavenly Father, or our defense. But if we're willing, and if we desire to have Him in our life in that way, I believe with all my heart that He wants to do just that. That He wants to defend us from all of our enemies, defend us from all of our troubles and our problems, and He wants to be our helper. Remember, He said, "Be still and know that I'm God." And so at times what somewhat crowds our minds, and sometimes people get in trouble, and all they can think about is their trouble and their problem, and projected in their thinking and feeling that it can only get worse, thinking of what will happen or what could happen, and all the time God's saying, "Be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm still here, that I live, that I have power, and that I also have mercy, and that I care for you." We don't want to forget that, do we, in our lives this morning. In the 14th chapter of Exodus here, when the children of Israel was leaving Egypt, and you remember the Egyptians was following behind. And in the 10th verse, it speaks concerning the children of Israel, and it said they were sore afraid. They were in trouble. They were being pursued by those that wanted to captivate them. I would consider that being real trouble, wouldn't you? This morning, if there were those that wanted to captivate you and take you into bondage and have you serve them, become their slaves, and you knew they were pursuing that, they were seeking that, and they could succeed, except that God would have mercy, you too would probably be sore afraid. Sometimes in our spiritual life, there are things that we face, and the enemy would seek to cause us to be sore afraid. Sometimes people fail to yield to God and to be saved because they're afraid they'll not be able to stand, or they'll not be able to succeed in living for God. Other people today fail to progress in their spiritual life because they're sorely afraid of the enemy. Well, let us consider what Moses said, what God said through Moses to the children of Israel in the 13th verse. "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." The Lord, God of heaven, the God of all power, the God of the universe, creator of the world, who holds all things in His hand, who is able to stop the sun, is able to control the rain, made the universe, has all power. Scripture says he'll fight for you. And as he fought for the children of Israel, so I believe this morning that he also will fight for us. In the depths of our trial, in the hard places of our life, when we're in trouble, whether it be spiritual trouble, financial trouble, a physical trouble, God is saying this morning, I'll fight for you. I'll fight the enemy. The enemy of doubts and unbelief and fear and denial. I'll fight those battles for you. And we'll let God be God to us this morning and for us, regardless of what we face. He's promised to fight our battles. If God, who is all wise and God who is all powerful and who has never lost a battle, will fight our battles, need we have fear and anxiety? Do we have to really worry? Or can we be still and know that I'm God? Can we begin to exercise a greater faith and have a real calmness within our very soul and within our inward man, a real quietness before him, knowing that he's God, that he has control of all things? I know this morning that we are a people that bear burdens. We are a people that have concerns. All of us here, no doubt, have loved ones that we have a great concern for. Have you ever had the enemy attempt to sweep over a fear, sweep over kind of a feeling of despair? Be still and know that I'm God. Did you know this morning that God is able to work when we're not able to do anything? Did you know this morning that God can speak to hearts and lives when they wouldn't hear us? I believe that if we'll put more faith in God, we'll believe God in a greater way. And be still before Him. Get quieted before Him. Have confidence in Him. He'll work. And He's promised to fight our battles. People have a lot of enemies. We have a lot of troubles. We live in a troubled world. But the bright thing this morning is to know that our God still lives. And that our God is triumphant. And our God has all power. And we don't have a good excuse at all this morning to be discouraged. Whatever the trouble is, whether it is for others, whether it is for needs that we might have within our physical life or other situations in life that we're praying for and looking to God to help us out, I want to remind you that you don't have a good reason to be discouraged. You have every reason this morning to have expectation. Every reason this morning to believe God and let God be God in our lives and be still and know that He is our God and that He will fulfill every promise and every covenant that He's made with us. In the 22nd chapter of Job, the 21st verse says, "Acquaint now thyself with Him," speaking of God, "acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace, whereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from His mouth, and lay up His words in thine heart." Acquaint thyself with Him. Get acquainted with God. And I think it would do us well to ask the Lord to help us to be better acquainted with Him. Acquaintance to me means to know someone, to get acquainted. There are people that I've met that I've never got acquainted with. You meet them, you know who they are, you know a little bit about them, but you say, well, you know, I know who they are and kind of know a little bit about them, but I'm really not acquainted. And I wonder if it's possible sometimes to meet God and yet fail to get as well acquainted with Him as He wants us to be with Him. to fail to know him as in reality as he desires that we would know him. How well do you know God this morning? Say, well, I've been raised in the truth. I've been saved for 10, 15 years. We're thankful for that. Appreciate how the Lord has blessed. But really, how well do we know him? And how how much are we conscious of his strengths, his ability, his care, and what he means and what he has planned in his relationship with us? You see? Acquaint thyself with him, it says, and be at peace. And so the better we get acquainted with God, the greater the peace that we have, the greater assurance we have, the more we're able to be still and know that I'm God. You ever see people sometimes get excited? Now, I know there's a human aspect of excitement that we really can't control, but I'm talking about emotionally excited and almost to a frenzy or almost to a real fear. We need to get better acquainted with God. I've heard people sometimes begin to describe troubles and needs in such a hopeless way. And then some good old saint say, well, where's God? Remember, we have God. And sometimes in our humanity, we get so focused on our trouble. And the enemy certainly works to get us to thinking in the human aspect, and we don't really consider or bring God into it as much as we should, and that's when we become fearful, that's when we become discouraged. Be still and know that I'm God. That our God this morning has all power. Acquaint thyself with him and be at peace. We do that from time to time. There are times when we recognize our troubles, and we probably all had the experience when in our trouble we poured out our heart to the Lord, really, really poured out in earnestness, and we touched what we said, we touched the throne of God, and what happens? Maybe the trouble is the same as it's always been, but there's a peace that flows into the heart. There's an assurance that flows into our very soul. Why? Because we've acquainted ourselves better, or we've touched the throne of God, or we've made contact or communed with him. And through that, perhaps it didn't immediately change the problem or the trouble, but it brought peace. A peace that God has for his people that he wants us to have. So the next time you're tempted to be discouraged or to be fearful, be still and know that I'm God. Acquaint thyself with him and be at peace. I want to elaborate just a little bit now on how great God is. And in the 7th chapter of Hebrews, speaks of him as our priest. The 24th verse says, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest become us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. The priest, the high priest, says he's able to save to the uttermost. That's the God that we are invited to be still and know that I'm God. A God that has power to reach in to the hearts and lives of unrighteous, wicked, sinful people, and to make them new creatures, to change them totally. Men and women today in prisons and jails whose lives have been filled with crime and sin, and so appearance is so hopeless, And yet the Bible clearly teaches us, and we know of different experiences of some where God reached down and totally changed their life. That's the power He has. When it looks so hopeless, when it looks so beyond human, God was able to do just that. That's the God that we live for. That's the God that we serve. Able to save. Not only able to save, but He's able to keep. In the time in which we live, with all the forces and the powers of sin and all the spirits that are prevalent in the world today, our God is able to keep those who love Him and serve Him from being defiled, from being conquered or yielding to all the prevailing powers and spirits that are in the world today. Now that's a big God. When you think about all the deceit and all the forces and powers in the world and how it's so captivated and ruined and wrecked lives, and then as individuals you and I can live a life that is righteous and pure and holy before the Lord, that's the God that we serve. So we can be assured this morning that not only was He able to save us, He's able to keep us. And so many times people labor under a fear. Can I really keep saved? Can I really be victorious? Sometimes people have tried at different times and failed. I know what that's like too. Began to live for the Lord and lost their footing, and the Lord restored them. And maybe it's happened more than once. And I could tell you again, I know what that's like too. But I also know a God that's able to establish, and a God that's able to bring about strength and victory, whereby we don't have to be down and up, in and out. That's the power and the greatness of the God that we live for. So to those today that may, the devil may try to impose fear that I can't make it, that I can't continue, I want to tell you to be still and know that I'm God. God is the one that saves us. God is the one that keeps us. And God is the one that lifts us up and helps us in all of our troubles and all of our trials, and sometimes when we might feel somewhat discouraged with our own self. And I've mentioned that before, that I've never been discouraged with God or His way. I knew it was perfect. But sometimes I got discouraged with my own self. And I thought, you ought to be further up the road. You ought to be stronger, and actually become discouraged with my own self. But to me and to others, I would say this morning, be still and know that I'm God. And even though there may be times in our lives that we feel that we made mistakes or haven't been as strong as we should have been, as victorious as we should have been, let us never be discouraged, but be still and know that I'm God. And God loves me, and God has all power, and God has the ability to bring me into an experience whereby that I can be victorious, that I can be strong, and that I can stand just like He's blessed in others' lives. That's the God that we live for this morning. In the 24th verse of Jude, it says, "Now unto Him that is God, that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." It is God this morning that's our hope. It is God is the one that's going to keep us from falling. He is the one through His Word and through His Holy Spirit that is going to help us in our life. We don't have to fear the future. We don't have to fear what we might face. Can I really stand if this or that should happen? For it's God is the one that's going to keep us from falling. God is the one that's going to protect us from all of the influences and all the temptations and all the spirits that we face. Be still and know that I'm God. Whatever God permits to come to pass in my life, whether it be severe spiritual trials, whether it be severe physical affliction, or whether it be other things that are very troubling, God is our refuge. God is our strength. And He's saying to us today, be still, get calm, relax before me, and know that I'm God. Have you ever heard it said how we're strongly influenced? And sometimes people see a height in the Lord. They see a spiritual experience. Then they look around and they think, well, can I really obtain that? Other people don't seem to have that perfected in their life. This morning, what God has revealed to you, the spiritual plane, that walk with God, that power with God that He's revealed to you, be still and know that I'm God. And if you see others that you feel they didn't obtain that, they didn't experience it, so how can I? I want to tell you to be still. Be at rest and know God. Get better acquainted with God. God's able to bring you into the land. He's able to bring you to the experience that He's revealed to you, that He showed to you, the power, the victory, the grace that He's revealed to you. God's able to work that in your heart and your life. And He will as you let Him be God. What is also very encouraging to me is found in the 4th chapter of Hebrews. In the 15th verse, where it says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." What it's teaching us here is that God understands. He knows. So often when people have troubles, when they have problems of life, generally, or so often, they'll say, well, you don't understand. And sometimes I have to tell people I don't understand. If they've met circumstances that I've never met in life, I don't attempt to try to tell them, well, I know just what you're talking about, or I understand it all together. You know, I wouldn't be that fool. I wouldn't be that foolish. But I'm always so glad to be able to say, I may not fully understand, but there's one that does. And that's God. God understands. God understands the heartache. He understands the fear. He understands the trouble. I'm always so glad to be able to point Him to that high priest of ours who says that He was tempted on all points, that He understands. Then He also invites us to come to that throne of mercy. Let us therefore come boldly, or come with assurance, under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in need. That's our God this morning. Be still and know that I'm God. The next time, whether it be today or maybe next week, that you're tempted to get a little uptight, you're tempted to really have anxiety, and when your peace and your happiness is imposed on, I want to encourage you to be still before the Lord and know that I'm God. Let us try hard not to bring God down to our level and not to see Him as our level, but to recognize that He is God. And He's promised, as we would obey His word, as we read there in Job, to receive the covenants, that He would be our God and that we'd be His people. May that be not just a theory or not just a good thought, but an experience with us, that I'm aware that I'm a child of God, and that God is my Father. And He wants me to be quiet, to be calm, He wants me to trust Him for every need and all the problems that I have. When I said that God is God and we're just humans this morning, I've come to conclude that God is much wiser than we. And so there are some ways, there are some things that God permits that we're not able to understand. There are things that He does, things that He doesn't do, things that He does that we don't think He ought to do, other things we feel like He should do that He doesn't do, and that's part of life. And we also come to the conclusion, I just don't understand. I don't think anyone here this morning would stand up and say, I follow clearly and I understand thoroughly everything that God has done. I don't think anyone would do that. Although we believe in it, and we trust it, and we know it's right, in our human ability, there are some things that we don't understand. And there are some things in this life that we will not understand as long as we live, about God, God's ways. We need to know that. And again, I say, be still and know that I'm God. So many times people become troubled. So many times they become discouraged because they don't fully understand all of God's ways. We need to recognize who God is and know that He's all wise and He's perfect. He makes no mistake. And so the things that He permits that we don't understand, problems that arise that we don't understand, that we have the privilege of just trusting Him anyway. And in the third chapter of the Proverbs, the fifth verse says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. What it really means is to trust the Lord's wisdom as well as His power and His ability. And there are going to be some times in our lives that we're going to have to do that if we're going to have peace. If we're going to have what God wants us to have, that we trust in the Lord with all of our heart. I believe it, God. I don't question You at all. I find no fault in You. And I will not lean to my own understanding or my own reasoning. Sometimes people become perplexed when they lean to their own understanding. We would have to kind of expect that from unbelievers, people that don't know the Lord. Often they pose questions, thoughts about God's ways and things He does or does not do. And people that don't know God can kind of expect that. But this morning, we that know the Lord, know Him as our Savior and as our Heavenly Father, we're taught not to lean to our own understanding. Parents sometimes, you know, tell children to quit asking questions. You know, little children want to know certain things about certain situations, and you know if you explained it well, the child wouldn't understand. So you just tell them not to ask questions about that anymore. And I believe God has to do that with us sometimes. That if God was to explain it, we wouldn't understand it. So it says, lean not to your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart. In the 55th chapter of Isaiah, the 8th verse says, concerning God, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, he's comparing his divine thoughts with our human thoughts. He said, as far as the heavens is above the earth, so are God's ways. God's way is best, I will not murmur. Although the end I may not see. Murmur means to just kind of under our breath, you know, question. His ways are that much higher. And I think this morning that we've all had some experiences in life that we didn't understand at all, that we would have done different. And then after it passed, we look back and we've seen how greatly it worked and how limited our vision was and how God knew what He was doing. Be still and know that I'm God. The next time that you have troubles, that you have a trial, and you don't understand why, you can see no good in it, just cannot understand why this is, be still and know that I'm God. God still knows, and His ways are perfect. What He's saying to us this morning is to trust Him. The 23rd chapter of Isaiah, familiar scripture there. Excuse me, 26th chapter. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee. I don't mind telling you this morning, in the last few months there have been things that God has done, not just in these months, but things He's done. And why I don't question Him in the respect that I know He's perfect, I still have the thoughts go through my mind. Lord, why did You do that? You ever have that? Not really questioning Him to the extent that you feel that He did it wrong, but just in your humanity. Why did You do that, Lord? I just can't understand. I can't see why You would have done this or that, when to me it looks like it had been so much better. And I say it in purity before Him, in honesty before Him. But I mean, we're human this morning, and we have human thinking. And it's just human to have thoughts and wonder why God permits this and did this or that. I don't think we can totally eliminate that humanity in us, but that's where our trust comes in. And though I'd say, Lord, I don't fully, totally understand why You did this or didn't do that, yet I trust You. I know Your way's perfect. I'll be still and I'll know that You're God. Trusting Him with all my heart, keeping my mind stayed on Him, and trusting Him will bring us perfect peace. In 2 Timothy, the first chapter, the Apostle Paul, you remember where he said, "I know on whom I have believed." He was acquainted with him and he was at peace. And one and 12, 2 Timothy, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, and nevertheless I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." There are things in our lives this morning that we must commit to the Lord and must give to Him, knowing who He is, knowing on whom I have believed. That's what the apostle said. I know on whom I believe. I'm acquainted with Him. And there are things that I've committed to Him. There are things, and I see this from time to time, how much better off people would be if they learned to commit some things unto God, give them to God. And yet, they'll struggle with it, they'll think about it, they'll talk about it, they'll try to change it. All the time they need to know who God is and give it to Him. Stephen, when he was being stoned, in the 59th verse, said, "And they stoned Stephen. Stephen was calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." But you notice by his choice, he prayed and he asked the Lord to receive his spirit. "I'm going to commit my life or my spirit unto You." We need to learn that better to have greater joy and greater peace. Lord, I want to trust you. I want to be still and know that you're God. And I'm going to give this. I'm going to commit it unto you. Sing a song sometimes, "Oh, what needless pain we bear," all because we did not carry everything to God in prayer. You know this morning that God wants us to bring to Him all of our problems and all of our troubles. And yet so many times we struggle with them. So many times we carry them. People in their spiritual life, things that bother them, trouble them, take away their peace and their joy, they carry it and they struggle with it. They try to resolve it themselves. Sometimes it's just between them and God, and other times between others. And they labor under that. It robs them of the joy of the Lord. And they need to bring it to God. And they need to be still and know that He is God. And there are a lot of things this morning we need to give to God. Say, "Lord, I'm releasing them. I'm giving them to you. I'm not going to carry it anymore." That's what it means to be still and know that I'm God. He's our defense, He's our refuge, He's our helper. In closing, I'm going to read a verse over here in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, the 7th verse. "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." I wish this morning that the Lord would be able to really get across to each one of us that the Lord cares about you. It's good today to have fellow men, family and friends. And it's good to know they really care. There's a lot of comfort in that. But if we can come to know that the God of heaven, the God of all power, really cares about me. Because He does. He wants you to know that. Young and old, regardless of how many problems and troubles we have, whoever we are this morning, to know that He's saying to us, "Cast all your care on me, for He careth for you." You're special to Him. He doesn't want you to go through life with a burden of sin and guilt and condemnation. He wants that burden to be cast. He bore it already. Nor does He want us as Christians this morning to go through life despondent, depressed, discouraged, fearful. What He's saying to us today is, "Be still before me. Get quiet before me. Let me be your friend. Let me be your helper. And know that I'm God." May the Lord bless each one. It's our prayer this morning. Encourage every heart to know that God wants to be God in your life. He wants to be real. And He also wants us to be His children. Amen.